Ask that you open your Bibles this morning to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1. And today we will be looking at verses 23 through 28. Mark chapter 1, verses 23 through 28. And before we read the Word of God, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for your word. Help us, O Lord God, to pay attention to your word this morning. May it penetrate our hearts and minds. Convict us of sin, Lord, and strengthen us and encourage us. O Lord, use your word and help me, your unworthy servant, as I read and proclaim it. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Mark chapter 1, beginning in verse 23, we read, "And there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee, who thou art, the Holy One of God. And Jesus rebuked him, saying, Hold thy peace, and come out of him. And when the unclean spirit had torn him, and cried with a loud voice, he came out of him. And they were all amazed, insomuch that they questioned among themselves, saying, What thing is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority commandeth he even the unclean spirits, and they do obey him. And immediately his fame spread throughout all the region round about Galilee." Today is Palm Sunday, 1 week from Easter. It's the day when our Lord Jesus entered Jerusalem to begin the final week of his personal ministry. And on that first Palm Sunday, the crowds greeted him, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." Unfortunately, the majority of them didn't understand what they were saying. They were looking for a Messiah, but in their praise, I think they were looking for a different Messiah than the one Jesus was. Now, in our scripture reading today, however, we see that a demon calls Jesus the Holy One of God. And we will see today that this demon certainly knew who Jesus was. He certainly knew him, unlike those crowds. Now, this past Wednesday, we looked at verses 21 and 22, where Jesus came teaching with authority, which shocked these people at this same synagogue that we're reading about here, because they were used to the rabbis quoting a bunch of other rabbis. That's when you see this. We looked Wednesday night. This is when Jesus talks about the traditions of men. He's not talking about something in general. It was a tradition among the Jews. They had this Jewish oral law where that was passed on down. It added on to the Mosaic law. It's still around. It's called the Mishnah, and it's in the Jewish Talmud. These are extra biblical writings, and this ensnared the Jewish leaders, the spiritual leaders, to interpret the Mosaic law by all these extra biblical readings. Jesus didn't come quoting any of these. He came teaching and preaching with authority, trusting only in the Word of God itself, which, of course, it comes from Him anyway, right? He came preaching with authority. Today, we continue this theme of authority. We saw that Jesus came teaching with authority, and now today we look at Jesus' authority over Satan. And that is the title of today's message: Jesus' authority over Satan, or over demons, over the forces of darkness. Now, this is Jesus' second confrontation that we read of in Mark's gospel with the powers of darkness. He had already, we looked at in verse 13, where he was tempted by Satan in the wilderness. And Jesus defeated Satan. He did not give in to the temptations of the devil. And today we read of the first miracle recorded in the Gospel of Mark. And I will emphasize this is the first miracle that Mark records. Most of you think, well, isn't Jesus turning the water into wine the first miracle we believe that Jesus did? And that's correct. But that's recorded in John's Gospel. But in Mark's Gospel, his first recorded miracle is this encounter with a demon. It is a dramatic encounter with this devil, or it appears, reading the text, that it is multiple demons, not just one. In the text, beginning in verse 23, which we read, as Jesus, and we saw in verse 22, Wednesday night, Jesus was teaching with authority, not as the scribes. And then there in the synagogue, a man with an unclean spirit, he cried out. Now, I'm not sure why this man cried out. The Bible, I don't believe it tells us exactly why, but apparently maybe uncomfortable with the presence of Jesus there. I'm not sure. That's what I would be thinking. But regardless, the man in our text, it says, is possessed by an unclean spirit. Notice what the devil or the demon is called. It is called an unclean spirit, which manifests itself to Jesus. The NIV translates it impure spirit. Basically the same word, unclean, impure. But the word unclean or impure means unclean or impure morally. This tells us much about the character of demons. It tells us much about the character of Satan himself, because Satan is a demon. He's the leader of the demons, these fallen angels. He is the leader of them. At their very core, they are unclean, impure. There is no goodness left in them. At their very essence, a demon or devil is totally unclean morally. Now, I want you to look at a few scriptures with me. First, 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4. And I want you to notice what the Apostle Paul here refers to Satan by. And I'm just going to read a portion of this scripture, the one I want us to focus on. "And whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them that believe not." Notice what Paul calls the devil. He calls him the God of this world, with a little g. Not that he's a creator, not that he is a god or a god, but he is the god of this world. That is the god this world follows. William Gurnall, the Puritan writer and preacher, said that this is used because sinners grant him a godlike worship. That's true. They give him a godlike worship. And they may not be people who are bowing before a statue of the devil. They may not even realize that's who they're worshiping, but that's who they are worshiping. Turn to 1 John chapter 5 and verse 19. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 19, where the Apostle John states this and says, "And we know that we are of God." He says, we are of God, we who are God's children, we who are born again, "and the whole world lieth in wickedness." Now, literally, by the way, "lieth in wickedness" is literally "lieth in the sway of the wicked one. This is what the New King James translates it. It's not just wickedness in general, literally. It is the wicked one. The entire world lies in the sway of the wicked one. You want to know what's wrong with our world today? It lies under the sway of the wicked one. And the Gospel of John, chapter 12, verse 31. I'm not going to go there, but just quote what Jesus referred to the devil as. He says he is the prince of this world. This is the same theme. And then in John 8, the Gospel of John, chapter 8, in verse 44, Jesus rebukes these unbelieving Jews, if you were to follow the early part of this, they were saying, hey, we are Abraham's children. They were trusting Abraham, and Jesus told them in verse 39, if you were Abraham's children, you'd do the works of Abraham. You'd have his faith, but you don't. And then he tells them who their father is in verse 44. Ye are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Notice what Jesus tells us about the devil here. First of all, he told these unbelieving these unbelievers who were Jews who were trusting in Abraham, or saying they were following Abraham, they weren't. He says, you're not of Abraham. You are your father, the devil. The lust of your father you do. He was a murderer from the beginning. He abode not in the truth, because there's no truth in him. This goes back to this uncleanness. There, at his very essence, he's untrue. A demon is. The Satan is. Murderer. There's no pity. There's no empathy within a demon or Satan. They're pure evil. When they speak of a lie, he speaks of his own. He's a liar. That's his essence. And now going back to Mark, and I'll show you what I'm trying to get at. The devils, the demons, Satan, at their very essence, they're completely evil. And guess what? This lost world, which follows the devil, imitates his character. And you can see the character of the unclean spirits in our own country, in this world, my friends. They follow their own wicked desires. They follow their own flesh, and their flesh follows the devil. It's full of uncleanness. You want to see humanity at one of its greatest uncleanness, where it was so unclean? You could see it at the trial of Jesus. Good Friday, which is coming up. And Pilate was sure that crowd would choose to free Jesus. He was trying to get out of it. I'm not going to go into the whole detail, but he gave him the choice. He thought he's going to stack the deck, put a murderer, Barabbas, and certainly they'll choose him. Guess what? They chose to release him rather than Jesus. And what did they say about Jesus? Crucify, crucify. His blood be upon our head and upon our children. Humanity, my friends, there's an uncleanness within us. In Acts chapter 4, verses 26 and 27, this is actually a quotation from Psalm 2. You might could say it's an interpretation. This prayer, what's being said here, but an interpretation, an amplification, says in verse 25. Well, no, let's start verse 24. It says, and when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou God, which has made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them is, who by the mouth of thy servant David has said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For of a truth against the holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. Here in this prayer, they interpret this messianic psalm, Psalm 2. The kings of the earth stood against the Lord and against his Christ. It shows a worldwide conspiracy here against the Lord, against God Almighty and his Christ. And what's the interpretation? Herod, Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles, with the Romans, and with the people of Israel, the Jews. Jew and Gentile together, gathered against Christ there at the cross, mocking him. Of course, it was done. They didn't realize they were doing what God's counsel had already determined. So it wasn't out of control. But here's the point. It shows Jew and Gentile against the Christ. Look, the world reflects the character of demons. It reflects it. You can see it all around us. Their allegiance to the devil. One of the pioneers of contemporary Christian music was the late Keith Green back in the 1970s. I believe we sing a couple of his songs, Creating Me a Pure Heart, which is actually a rearrangement of a portion of Psalm 51, and There is a Redeemer. We sing those two songs. But he wrote a song back in the 1970s, No One Believes in Me Anymore. It's a song about the devil, where it states, I used to have to sneak around, but now they just open their doors. You know, no one believes, no one's watching for my tricks, because no one believes in me anymore. If they do believe in him, let me say this one. It's something like one of these movies like The Exorcist or these Conjuring movies. It's more like science fiction than the reality. The world resembles its spiritual father, my friends. They may say they don't believe in him. That's the great trick of the devil, to get them not to really believe in who he is, that he's pure evil. They want to see him as some sort of rebel against God, you know, because we love rebels, don't we? We like the rebels. But you can see it every day. If you work, you can see it the way people talk, their vulgar speech, and their profanities. They even say it in front of their children. They cuss their children out with unclean speech. The way people live, open fornication, adulterous, blatant homosexuality, transgenderism. It's all around us, folks. The flesh is, the men and women have given themselves over to their flesh, and they're following their spiritual unclean father, the devil. They reflect his character. You see it in the way they dress. And so the moral uncleanness of this world reflects that of the devil. Now there is a difference, however, because demons and the devil is at their very core, they are pure evil. Humans, however, are made in the image of God. And Jesus laid his life down at the cross for humans, not for demons. For those you know who are lost, who may be involved in evil and might be involved in this, remember this, they're not beyond God's saving grace. Never hate or despise people because of their lifestyle, but pray for them that they may be freed from their slavery to the devil, because that's what they are, enslaved, the entire lost world, and they reflect his character. But there is hope through faith in Christ. Now going back to Mark, this unclean spirit, manifest itself, himself. And notice what the unclean spirit cries out. His first words to Jesus was, "Let us alone." Now this indicates, many believe, that this indicates there's more than just one demon in this man. Though the King James Version, if you'll notice, does put "us" in italics, meaning this is what they think it's most likely, the word "us." If you see that in italics in the King James, they're letting you know this is what we believe this is. So it's most likely "is us." Let us alone. Leave us alone. Now, why would they say this? Why would this demon, this unclean spirit, say this? Because demons fear Jesus. There's fear in these words, folks. Leave us alone. Leave us. The words come across like someone who's completely mortified, terrified. You know, I think, boy, I see this demon terrified of Jesus, and this entire world seems to lack the fear of God. And note the next words that the demon, this unclean spirit, says: "Art thou come to destroy us?" Boy, that's fearful. Are you come to destroy us? That's fear, folks. That's terror. Terror in this demon's voice. Are you come to destroy us? I see this on Facebook, and you'll probably see it again. It's a Facebook meme where it has Jesus, picture of Jesus, and one of these silly pictures, Jesus and the devil. And they're in an arm wrestling match for the world. Believe me, that's silly. Because that's putting Jesus and the devil on the same playing field as equals. They're not. Believe me, they're not. Jesus is sovereign over Satan. Read the book of Job to see that God has control over Satan. Satan and his demons are not in the same league as Jesus. We are told to fear God. We're not told to fear the devil. We're told to fear God. Now, you're not supposed to be dabbling with the devil. You're not supposed to be dabbling in evil things. But our main fear is to fear God, not to fear the devils. And then this demon says, "I know thee, who thou art, the Holy One of God." Now, in James chapter 2, in verse 19, James chapter 2, in verse 19, James tells us, "Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble." Here's the thing about it. There's no such thing as an atheist demon. There's no atheist demons. Hey, James was saying, you believe in God, boy, you're doing well. You're doing real well. The devils believe in God. Now, when I say believe, it doesn't mean they have faith in God, but they believe there is a God. And how do they believe? They tremble. And we see this here in the Gospel of Mark. This demon is trembling, believing. The devil here says, "You're the Holy One of God." And I find that interesting because he is called, the demon here is called unclean, and he refers to Jesus as holy, which is the exact opposite of unclean. He is the Son of God, God in the flesh. This demon knew who Jesus was. He knew he is standing before the Creator, my friends. Terrified. And yet, God's own creation, the one made in His image, too often don't realize who Jesus is. So sad. As I said earlier, today's Palm Sunday. Yes, they were crying out, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." But I believe the majority, they just didn't understand. They were looking for something else. Because when Jesus turned out to be he didn't turn out to be the kind of Savior they wanted to be. Jesus came to save people from their sins, not to break them free from the Roman Empire. And Jesus is the Holy One of God, the one who comes to set people free. And then we read in verse 25 where it states Jesus' response is he rebukes the unclean spirit. He says, "Hold thy peace and come out of him." And when the unclean spirit had torn him, and that doesn't mean that he was tearing his flesh or nothing. It means it's a meaning he was having convulsions, the man was. He cried out with a loud voice, and he came out of the man. There's no prolonged struggle here in this exorcism, if you want to call it that. When the Son of God speaks, demons leave. When he said, "Quiet," the demon obeys and leaves. He had no other choice. Today, you know, one of the rages today among many evangelicals today is so-called deliverance ministries. You can find them on YouTube, Facebook, TikTok, and these guys will go around, they'll talk to the demon, they'll be commanding him over and over again. There was a so-called exorcism at a Baptist church here. This was several years ago in the Baton Rouge area that was publicized, and I'm not going to name the church, but it went on all night long. Supposedly, it went on all night long, and you hear a lot about this. But when I hear things like this, I always want to know, does it go according to what Scripture here says? When I see exorcism in the Bible, how do we see it? Is it a prolonged struggle? No. When Jesus said leave, they left. Now friends, I have problems with ministries who are majoring upon demons in the first place. And then some of these people who are saying that Christians can have demons, and you got this type of demon, this is why you're having problems in your life. No, that's not right. That's wrong. You got a problem with your flesh is what you got. Now, the devil is certainly tempting you, but your main problem is you need to repent of something and get right with God. Look, there's a lot of people who are go around saying they're deliverance ministers, exorcists, but they reflect the exorcist of Acts chapter 19, verses 14 through 16, well, 13 through 16, where it states, "And certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, took upon themselves to call over them which had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, We adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preacheth. And there were seven ones which did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are ye? And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them and overcame them and prevailed against them. And so they were fled out of the house naked and wounded." My friends, don't be deceived by some of these charlatans going around pretending to be exorcists and trying to get money and having, and it's shown before that they got actors who will pretend to have a devil in them. That's not how it works. Book, chapter, and verse. I always put that. Show me that in the Bible where that happened. When Jesus told a devil to leave, there wasn't no overnight struggle. That devil left. When you see that in the Bible, the Satan runs. In Jesus' first miracle in the Gospel of Mark, it's this casting out of the unclean spirit. He shows his complete authority even over the demons. That's why you see here in Mark chapter 1 where they were all amazed in so much. Verse 27 says, "What thing is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority commandeth he the unclean spirits, and they do obey him." They have no other choice. He's God incarnate. And his fame spread throughout the region round about Galilee, it states. Martin Luther, in his famous hymn, "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God," one portion of it reads, "The Prince of Darkness Grim, we tremble not for him. His rage we can endure, for lo, his doom is sure. One little word shall fail him." Luther, in that hymn, doesn't portray Satan as some all-powerful demon. He portrays him as helpless before our Lord. Don't tremble at the devil. Tremble at our Lord. Fear him. Love him. Trust him. The devil's doom is sure. One little word shall fail him. It does seem like, you know, this world seems to be just totally overcome with evil today. And it should be no surprise. Scripture tells us the world lieth under the control of the devil. But notice what Revelation 12:12 says about this world. It says, "Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil is coming down upon you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time." Here's the thing about it. The devil knows his time is short. We see his wrath, his rage, and the morality of this world. We see it in wars raging where helpless people are being murdered and butchered. And yet his time is coming to an end. Jesus' fame grew, for it showed he had authority over even the demons. He certainly is. He truly is the Holy One of God. He is sovereign, my friends. Even the demons fear him. Let me ask you today, if you're here, do you know Jesus as the Holy One of God? Not as this demon knew him, but do you know him by faith? Only by faith in Christ can we enter heaven. Only by his grace that he gives us. If you know not Christ, oh, turn from your sins. Turn to him who took the sins of all who believe upon him. All Christ elect, repent, believe upon Christ. If you're a Christian, always remember in this evil world that is so unclean, it's just reflecting the character of evil. But we are to remain faithful to our Lord. He's the Holy One. Keep your eyes upon him and believe and trust him always. Let's pray. Oh, Father, we do give you praise and thanks for, Lord, for the salvation that we do have in Christ Jesus. And though we live in an evil world filled with evil and uncleanness, that our Lord Jesus is pure. And by his grace and by his perfect sacrifice upon the cross for sinners, we who trust him by faith are made clean and pure by his holy blood. Oh Lord, may we walk faithfully at all times. And if there be any who know not Christ, convict them of their need of him. Convict them, draw them away from the Father of lies, from this unclean and evil world, and unto Jesus. In whose name I pray, amen.